And welcome to Soul Odyssey. This is your host, mystic medium, animal communicator extraordinaire, Deborah Herman. And each week we talk about your soul journey and anything that relates to it and how you can become a more conscious human. And we have wonderful guests this evening. I'm so thrilled. You've already met Lisa Houston, who is an expert in EVP, which is electronic voice phenomenon. And several weeks back, we also had Margaret Downey, who works with Lisa. They have been doing a documentary, and they do sessions with people to unite them with their loved ones who have passed over and who are beyond the veil. Our special privilege this evening, along with Lisa, say hi, Lisa.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
We are just so thrilled, both Lisa and myself, to have Mark Macy with us. Mark is a pioneer in ITC, which is exactly what?
ITC is instrumental transcommunication. It's the use of different forms of technology to get in touch with the other side.
Well, and you have a bio that's at least three sheets long, and I'm sure we could dazzle everyone, and already have, but my greatest interest is that you really were the first American to have what they call a grade A EVP. Am I correct?
It was an ITC contact, an actual telephone dialogue with the other side. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah, well, yes, and forgive me, I'm new at this. All of this just blows my mind, and what's really funny is I'm a conscious medium. I mean, I do talk with the other side, and I know I want to make it very clear because in all of her bio material, it seems that it's somewhat absent, but Lisa is an excellent medium and reader, clairvoyant, etc. And so you would think I would be a little used to this, but this actual contact through the electronic medium is absolutely astounding to me. And I'd love for you to tell us about it and how you became involved and some of the history of it.
Sure.
And we actually are going to play in this first half hour, and I do want to apologize. This is a live call-in show, but we do have a lot of ground to cover. You're welcome to try to sneak in there, but we may not be able to get to your calls. During the first half hour, we have some samples that you've sent me of Constantine Radev, you'll pronounce it. Two from him, and then one from a scientist. And then in the second half, we're going to do the extra special surprise of the ethereal beings. So if you could explain to us a little bit about how you got involved and some of the things you know that you've experienced.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. Back in the almost all my life, I was an atheist or an agnostic. I didn't believe in any sort of afterlife, and thoughts about God seemed like wishful thinking to me. But in 1988, I was diagnosed with cancer, which nearly killed me. And so I guess with death staring me in the face, I suddenly had to know what really happens to us after we die. And I couldn't take it on faith. You know, there's nothing wrong with faith, but I've always needed some kind of proof or evidence to convince me of something that was beyond my understanding. And so in 1991, 3 years after my cancer, I attended a conference in Fort Collins, Colorado, and met a man named George Meek, who is George Meek is regarded as the father of ITC. He and another fellow had developed a device called Spiracom, which allowed the first two-way dialogue between this side and the other side through electronic equipment. And George, the stuff that he shared at the conference was just mind-boggling to me, and it turned my life around, basically. So I became good friends with George Meek, and he did have some amazing things that he'd done in his life to provide evidence and proof of the afterlife through communication and photography and different things. But he introduced me to a couple in Luxembourg who were getting the most amazing contacts in the world at that time, back in the early 90s. And they'd leave for work in the morning. Their names were the Harsh Fishback couple. It was Maggie Fishback and Jules Harsh.
Oh my goodness. I thought that was one name. I was about to say boy. But actually, George is now himself deceased, correct?
Yes,
you met him in his latter years.
Correct.
And I just want to digress at this moment that people can see some wonderful tape of him and some of this that you're referring to on YouTube. I don't know if you've even seen it, but if you look up George Meek, somebody has uploaded some interviews that were done with him on the radio, on some kind of esoteric radio show. Were you aware of this?
Yes, I've seen a lot of that George Meek information on different parts of the internet, especially YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. So people can, you know, further their research about it because it's amazing. And in the documentary, Lisa, I just want to I want to keep track of what you are saying.
Yeah. Well, Mark gave me some incredible footage, which was old footage, where George Meeks went to Washington D.C. and he had a press conference. And he basically announced to the world that you know, death is that people are still very much alive, and that we can actually talk to people in the spirit world. And he said it was videotaped, so when I was working on the documentary with Mark, he gave me this footage. And we actually had to kind of restore it because it was old, it was on a VHS, but it was very, very interesting, and we, you know, did a semi-restore on it, and it's incredible information.
Well, what's funny, and again, keep track of where we're going with this. We have so much to talk about. But what's really funny is that the person who's talking, and it was actually, a medium, psychic person who's using this equipment, and the person who was talking to him from the other side was a little put out because he said, "Why didn't you call the phone numbers I gave you?"
Right.
And he said, "Because they're unlisted phone numbers. How am I going to explain to these people how I got their unlisted phone numbers?" And in these videos that you've restored, you can actually hear this voice. It sounds a little robotic. Of course, it's electronic, but you can actually hear it. And so I recommend, is some of that footage also available on YouTube? I know it will be in your marvelous documentary.
Yeah, if people look up Spiricom, they look up the Spiricom, I think, I mean, Mark, you need to tell me, I think the footage that you gave me with Bill O'Neill, I don't know if that's on the internet.
I don't know either. There was only like 5 or 10 minutes of video shot of the Spiricom, but all of the audio is up on the internet someplace. I mean, you can find that, yeah.
Well, and you have an amazing
video
website, too, Mark.
Yeah, I have. We have some of the O'Neill conversations on my website, worlditc.org.
Yeah, it's a great website.
This is amazing.
Mark has, there's so much on his website that he has, like, photos of people on the other side and then photos before they were on the other side, and you can see how their faces are the same. And he has, on his website, he has extraordinary contact voices of, you know, angels and singing, and it's a really incredible website. There's everything is there.
It is life-changing,
yeah.
And I can really feel what you're saying, Mark, when you say that after these experiences you were truly never the same. Lisa, I want to point out that you got involved with doing the documentary and with some of this process because you had a loss when you were young.
I had a little brother named Christian who died of crib death. I was 4 years old. And so, you know, I was very intuitive and visual, and, you know, I just had a sense that he was still, you know, alive and well, and had some interesting situations, where I, you know, because of my visual stuff, I know that there's life after death. But if people don't have that going on, then and you just think that this is all there is, when it comes down, time to deal with a death or you know, your death or whatever, there's a lot of fear behind it and a lot of grief. And so I read Mark Macy's book. He has a book. He has several books. And I read one of his books called Conversations Beyond the Light. I read it, 15 years ago, and I read it 5 times. I was blown away. I went, oh, my God, if this is real, I mean, the world needs to know about this. So I ended up, 10 years after reading the book, I ended up finding Mark and calling him, and I sent him a letter, and I emailed him, and then we met, and then we started, putting together a documentary, and you know, we're still putting it together. It's actually all shot, and then it ended up where I met other people, and Margaret Downey, who was on your show recently, and, you know, now we're doing EVPs, and it just, you know, the whole EVP and ITC, it's all about people working together and creating a love and a resonance field, and then it tends to grow from that, and that's what a resonance field is all about. And I just think the importance of all this is it really shows people that there is life after death, and that you also have the realization that when you do cross over, that your loved ones are there waiting for you, and that people don't have to grieve as much. And I think that's the purpose of it.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing the kind of work that you do with individuals. So, Mark, after you met with the long-named couple in Luxembourg, was it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what happened after that.
Well, they had established what Lisa was talking about, a contact field or a resonant field with a really top-notch group of spirits who call themselves Time Stream, and they were their efforts were facilitated by a group of 7 ethereal beings or angels who had a lot of power and wisdom. They knew how to open up the communication bridge in ways that have never been done before. So the Harsh Fishback couple, I'll just call them the Harsh couple. They would leave for work in the morning, and they'd turn everything off, and they'd come back in the evening. Sometimes a computer would be running, and there'd be new files planted on the disk, and the files would be long texts or pictures from the other side showing or describing what life is like on the other side. And they had telephone calls and long radio contacts for two-way radio dialogues just through a regular FM radio. You know, they would sit in front of a radio. The radio sounds would have spirit voices in them, and they would be able to just talk back and forth with the spirits. And when I met them in 1992, a friend of mine, Hans Heckmann, who is a German-American, he agreed to translate all our information into English, and I agreed to publish it here in the States. So we all became good friends for a period of about nearly 10 years. And during that time, I became part of this contact field. And when I did that, I was also starting to get really amazing telephone calls and radio contacts from the other side.
So I think it's time that we share with the listening audience our first EVP or our, actually it's
an ITC ITC contact.
ITC, and it's, I hope we get the right one. It's VRMHM.
Oh, that's,
I think was file.
Yeah, that's Konstantin Raudaev and myself talking on the telephone.
Okay, let's see if
and
we can get that.
Konstantin is on the other side. Konstantin is in the spirit world.
Right. Explain who Konstantin Raudaev is.
Back in the 1960s, he was a prominent psychologist and psychology professor at Uppsala University in Sweden, and he was skeptical of all this stuff about afterlife, but he began to visit some of the EVP researchers back in the late 60s and early 70s, and he was overwhelmed by what he saw, so he devoted the rest of his life to EVP research, and he became one of the best-known pioneers in EVP. In fact, a lot of people, when they get these voices, they call them Raudaev voices because he was so prominent in the field. And when he crossed over in 1974, he started contacting us, and he told us that it's his calling to continue this work from the other side. So he's the one who always called me on the telephone.
Okay, we're going to listen to this right now. Now, I want the audience to understand that Mark is alive and well on this side, and this is the telephone answering machine or an actual call?
It's actual conversation between Constantine and myself.
That you pick up the phone and there he is, and he is on the other side. Okay, we're ready to go.
It's not easy on Earth to develop social systems that are based on non-hierarchical things.
Then try to avoid it, Trentmire, because these are systems implanted in your world, and you will have to do with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is very important. You assume the role, and then it will be done, because it's only for the common cause.
Okay. What we're trying to establish with Init, I think, is more of a network on Earth, which is, as opposed to a hierarchical or a bureaucratic type organization, a network without a formal structure. I think that can be done maybe with the Internet.
That's exactly, because you are one of the essential main points of this network. You are one big dot on it, you understand?
Thank you.
And from this big dot, there are departures for other dots, smaller dots. And it's only from this big dot that ramifications may be made.
Now, that was in what year?
That was in 1994 or 5. I'm not sure which.
Now, I really want the audience to take in that that was before the common use of the Internet that we have now.
Actually,
and you were correct?
Yeah, that had to be about 1997, I believe, because we formed our Init group in 1995. And during that, at that time, we had a problem with our Init group. It was an international association of researchers and scientists, and we had a difficult time corresponding. The Internet was starting to make that possible, but meanwhile we were having annual meetings, which wasn't really enough to share our results and establish this harmony among us that's necessary for the contact field. So I was proposing that maybe we could be benefited by the Internet, which is, I think, what you were getting at, Deborah.
Well, I made a faux pas. I didn't understand what you were talking about your group, but my brain, maybe I was just in interpreting it maybe the way it's supposed to be interpreted. I felt that he was talking about the future and that we were going to become a global network of communication,
right,
and transcending time and space, because at that time people weren't using the Internet like we're using it now.
Does that make any sense? Yes, and I'm sure he was talking about both scenarios. I was referring mostly to our Init group, you know, getting that network, non-hierarchical network with our group, and I think he foresaw that that's kind of the way things are evolving on Earth because of the Internet, yeah.
And then, and I will reveal that, you know, we're talking about doing, you know, some more, we're all talking about doing some more work together. But things are so different now that it may be that there is going to be some, you know, we're hopeful that there's going to be some new information that comes through. You know, we're going to share some information from the ethereal beings in the second half, and I just got the word that the files got through, so we will be able to hear them. Let's go to the second conversation, I believe. Was that also a phone conversation?
Yes,
and
in that one, he's giving me technical advice for my telephone or for my radio system. He's suggesting I buy what's called a VLF, or a very low frequency converter, to convert HF radio waves to VLF. But he'll kind of explain that. You'll hear it.
Are we ready?
Oh, yeah, you'll hear it on the recording.
Right. Yep. Are we ready?
Yes.
I have to make sure. Okay. Okay. This is all very technical. So this was... Okay, here we go.
Hello.
Yes.
I'll try to make it clearer this time. It's a VLF receiving converter.
Okay.
VLF receiving converter. It's a receive radio navigation beacon. hertz, and you have standard frequencies shipped ashore and European LW broadcasts.
Yes.
You have also a 1750-meter license-free band, and so on. And you can have a converter. You simply connect the VLF converter to your HF radius antenna input and a suitable VLF antenna. Then you convert the entire VLF band to say 10 kHz to 500 kHz up to 4010 to 4500 kHz respectively.
Okay. Wonderful.
This is technical advice from this side.
Thank you very much, Constantine.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go out and figure that out myself. That's just so amazing to hear his voice. And he did this work before he passed over, and he helped you all create the technical equipment to be able to have this kind of communication. And what I heard was, well, you've got like the ship to shore, that it's similar to that kind of thing. Did I hear him say that?
Yeah, he was talking about the different frequency bands and ship to shore and European different types of bands. And he was just suggesting to focus for now on the VLF band, the variable frequency band. That was pretty common among a lot of my colleagues in Europe, too. They were getting advice from the other side on specific equipment, and it seemed like each site was a little bit different. It was like they were trying to establish the equipment that would be compatible with the attitudes and the vibrations of the individual experimenter and his spirit group, so that the equipment became part of like a marriage between all these different living forces, you know, and each system was kind of custom-made, custom-designed.
Well, it makes sense. We're dealing with energy. We're dealing with frequency. We're dealing with intention. We're dealing with, really, spiritual vibration. And you've got to find a way. I know sometimes if I go into a room with a lot of stones or things like that, that I can physically feel that the room may be out of balance. So
yeah.
What do you think, Lisa?
Well,
it's all about balancing the energy.
Yeah, but Mark, isn't it true that with the Spiracom, the machine that George Meeks helped create with Bill O'Neill was a medium, and George Meeks and Bill O'Neill created a machine called the Spiracom, which had all the different human tones to it. And after, when Bill O'Neill passed away, didn't people try to use the Spiracom machine, and it didn't really work because they custom made it to fit Bill O'Neill's vibration.
That's correct. And George Meek even published the detailed schematics of the Spiracom device, and a number of people tried to replicate the actual device, and nobody had any success with it.
Right.
And
because
as a result,
that
some
makes
people,
perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because it has to be on a person's vibration.
And that person,
I mean, these are things we're just learning about.
Yeah, and Bill O'Neill was tapped in. He was psychic. He had the gift of sight. I mean, that's the one thing that I've learned more than anything is that, you know, they kind of communicate psychically with you, and then you get prompted to do stuff or to go ahead and do an EVP or call this particular person up. I mean, that's what Margaret Downey and I are finding, that they, like Margaret does ITC. ITC is anything visual and audio. It's kind of the umbrella, and then underneath that is EVP, which is audio. And Margaret will say that, you know, sometimes she'll get an impression to go shoot video, you know, to shoot still camera work, and she'll get some faces and stuff. And I know with the EVPs, when I first interviewed Margaret, Spirit told me to put her together with this other girl, Christy, and I did, and we had a whole homicide thing occurred. But it all starts with your psychic ability, and that's really important, you know. I mean,
well, you mean that, and we'll talk, I don't think we have time to talk about it today, but just to clarify, what happened is you got information about a homicide.
Yeah, it solved the homicide.
Well, we didn't know it even was a homicide. Spirit literally came to me. I mean, you know, they told me real strong, put Margaret and this girl, Christy, who I had interviewed like 6 or 7 months before, and she took photos with a camera, and she would sometimes get little spirit, interesting spirit facial stuff. You know, it was an ITC thing, like a visual thing. And I thought I'd put those two together, and I didn't know what would happen. And I videotaped it, and this man's voice comes through, and he says, you know, get so-and-so. I have to not say the names because it's still all under investigation with the police department. But it says, let's change the name to Bob. Get Bob. Bob killed me. You know, and I'm like, oh, my God. And then I'm looking at these girls, and they're like, well, that's our best friend. He was murdered 5 days ago. And he kept talking and giving us information. It was handed over to the police department, and it's helping them solve that crime. But that's what happens. They give you if you just listen, it's so important to be intuitive and just tap in and really start to listen, and you get guided very beautifully, and then things just unfold. What I've learned is they definitely run the show. They absolutely run the show up there.
Absolutely. And what I'd like to, because we're getting to the end of the first half of the show, I want to quickly share this one tape or file from, it's a scientist, and he died, I guess, in 1881. And you can explain a little bit about who he was and all of that, but you've transcribed what he says, and it's very interesting. So why don't we go ahead and play that?
Okay, good.
Hello.
Are you listening? Speaking. Interesting. And I'm speaking to you, in my name and in the name of our staff, from Lifeline, the scientists. Our project, as well as from Lifeline, as from Time Stream, is to set fire to minds. To set fire to minds in your world, and in that moment, to try to master time. I can give you a few explanations. The void dreams the universe, but the void is unconscious. The universe has consciousness, but it can control the voice. There in the never-ever, all time is one, and time is. Dear colleagues, the information I wanted to give was
now, I'm going to read the transcription, but the beginning and the end, who was the technician who says the contact to Lifeline has broken down?
Oh, he must be psychic. That is one of the seven ethereal beings who calls himself technician, because he said that's his purpose in this project, is to be sort of a technician. He said they don't have names over there, but if you have to call me something, call me technician, because I'm kind of a gatekeeper between your world and the world of spirit.
It's just fascinating, and the reason I wanted to make sure to play this is I'll read you what he was saying, because it was a little bit hard to understand. He says, my name is Henri St. Clair Deville. I left your world in 1881, and I'm speaking to you in my name and in the name of our staff of Lifeline, the scientists. Your projects, as well as from Lifeline and from Time Stream, is to set fire to minds, to set fire to minds in your world, and in that moment to try to master time. I can give you a few explanations, and then it was garbled. You will know it as consciousness. There is the never ever. All time is one and timeless. Dear colleagues, the information I wanted to bring forth, and then it breaks down in technician, that voice at the end comes back and says the contact has broken down. But what was very interesting recently, someone contacted me on Facebook I hadn't talked to in about 30 years and made a joke, gee, we haven't talked in 30 years. And I said that as a joke, that the Internet is truly replacing space and time, because it feels like I just talked to this person yesterday. And, you know, this is really remarkable. What do you think about what he said, Mark?
I think it's pretty profound. He's basically, when he says Lifeline and Time Stream, he's talking about two different spirit groups who are trying to come together during this experiment and communicate, because Lifeline was working with George Meek and Time Stream was working with the Harsh couple in Luxembourg. So the George Meek and the couple were friends, and so their spirit groups were also becoming friends, and they were trying to make these cross contacts. When he says our purpose is to set fire to minds in your world and in that moment to master time, the biggest challenge they have from their side in ITC research is trying to come to terms with our time frame, because we live in a world of linear time, and it's very difficult for them. It's like for us trying to reach into a stream and grab one of many fish that are swimming by. You know, it's time is just a very difficult thing for them to navigate. Yeah. It's an illusion that we live in. It's part of our reality, but it's from the bigger perspective, it's basically an illusion. And
we find that when Margaret and I are doing EVP, it's timing. Like we, you know, when we do it with clients, the client or Margaret will ask a question, and they sometimes will talk on top of us because they're trying to time it when to speak. And you can hear the facilitator on the other side saying, "Talk now," and then you can hear them talking back and forth. Oh, they're talking, and they're trying to time it. So we're always very conscious of trying to tap in and like be in sync with them so that we can time it right. So we ask the question, you know, like a client will say, you know, Joey, are you there? And then we'll tell them to wait. And that way Joey will say, yeah, Mom, I'm here. I love you. And then the mom will keep asking questions. And so that timing is important. And they get really frustrated because the process down here is really slow. You know, like we'll do one pass for 2 minutes, and then we have to go back and we look at each little sound wave bit by bit. And they're getting really frustrated on the other side.
When Bill O'Neill was working with a Spiritcom device, sometimes he would hear his spirit friend, Doc Mueller, kind of break midway between a sentence. And then the next day he would resume right where he left off with the same sentence. And so a day would pass by in no time at all for Mueller, but for Bill O'Neill it was kind of a cumbersome operation, yeah. I guess.
That's interesting.
Well, I this is also amazing, but I want to move us ahead into a greater context.
Okay.
Why? Why are we making these connections, and what does it mean for us as human beings? And this is, you know, it's fascinating. I'm sure many of the listeners are just feeling, you know, like their minds are blown. It's hard to wrap your brain around this concept because we feel this, you know, we can't see with our eyes, but essentially, the veil is not that far from us from a vibrational standpoint. We occupy similar dimensions. And from what I'm told, it's thinning. And we're in a time of consciousness shift. And I believe very strongly, which is why I do the show Soul Odyssey, that people are on a path to ascend, to grow, to expand their vibration, and to become more aware and more able to tap into these other energies and to understand what all of this means. So in a way, I think the frustration, Lisa, that the people who are communicating may feel, or it feels to us like they are feeling, is that there is a sense of urgency. So I'd like to play the two samples we have from the ethereal beings. So, Mark, why don't you set that up for us and explain what that's about? And then at the end, Lisa, you can tie some of that up with your what you hope to do in the future.
Okay.
The contact came in the fall of 1996, shortly before our second annual meeting of INIT, the International Network for Instrumental Transcommunication. And the ethereal beings kind of took that occasion to give us this long, actually about a four-minute message through a telephone answering device. And in one of the sequences, you'll hear them talk about the project. And when they mentioned the project, I thought they were talking about the project of high-tech communication that was starting to open up for us. But eventually I realized that they were talking about a much more profound project going back many thousands, tens of, probably hundreds of thousands of years, involving all of humanity. And so that's, I think, one of the main purposes of ITC is, from our perspective, is getting tremendous insights into distant events that happened long ago that have long been buried in the sands of time. And in the other clip, they'll talk about this is the seventh time that we've accompanied your world. And they're referring to the fact that they've come close to our world on seven different occasions throughout very distant history when humanity had reached kind of a turning point when we could either ascend to a finer state where we could establish a relationship with these ethereal beings, or we could fall into another dark age. And I think what we've always done in the past is fall into a dark age because of human nature. We have this kind of a savage side to our nature that, and we also tend to overpopulate. And anyway, that's getting beyond the point. But the main thing is they're here for the seventh time now, and they're trying to get us as a human species to come together with them and establish a relationship.
They want us to get it.
Yes, exactly.
That's what it is. I'm like, come on, we're here. We're here to help you.
Yeah,
and that's what we talk about every week on the show, and I'm so grateful you're here and sharing this with us. This is real. These are beings that are real, and we can call them angels. So we're going to play the first one in a second.
In the course of bygone decades of thousands of earthly years, beings interested in human species meet to decide on the continuation of the project.
Okay.
I've heard it many, many times, and it leaves me speechless, and you know that it's real.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we are the project.
Yes.
We're the project.
We are.
And I'd like to now go right into the second one.
Okay.
If we could, if that's set up. Okay. I think it's going to take a second to get it set up. But this
now,
is
Mark,
all part of... Okay, here we go.
Okay.
This is the seventh time that we accompany and guide you in your progress towards a free, wealthy, and sane future in which humanity would have stripped off the chains of intolerance and cruelty. A future in which it will be able to establish a fruitful and durable relationship with the lighter realms of existence.
And it goes on to say, at the end of this, because I was able to listen to what you have in the documentary, that there aren't that many people who are moving in this direction who are awake and conscious, but there are enough, and that what people, we call them light beings, light workers, star seeds, anyone on a spiritual path who wants the change, what we decide in this next period of time really will make the difference in what happens. That our choices, we don't have that clip, but am I correct? That's what it says.
Yeah, it says you are a small number, but much depends on you and your efforts.
Right.
In these days.
And, right.
Yeah.
So
In you. Remember, Mark?
Yeah.
Yes,
saying,
yes,
we trust
yes, yes, yes.
You.
Yeah.
It says, we trust in you.
Yeah.
And that's so, I mean, I just got such chills and I felt hugged by the angels. Like, yes, we know you can do this. You really can do this.
Well, I think they sent a good team down here.
Yeah. They did. And so, it's, you know, I think people like us who are doing this kind of work, and especially for you, Mark, I mean, going from being, you know, an atheist, and you went through that really awful experience, and for you to now devote your life to teaching this and making people aware of this, that we don't die, that we're energy. It's a way to uplift and change humanity, and that
Mark,
we really can do it.
Yeah, Mark is a true pioneer. I mean, Mark has forged forward where no one else has gone and keeps speaking his truth and sharing this, and, you know, people kind of shake their heads like, oh, no way, or oh, my God, and he just keeps forging forward. I mean, Mark, how many years have you been doing this? He lectures, writes books, travels?
About almost 20. And,
yeah.
But I was just kind of pulled into it, and there was no escape. I didn't want to escape. It's just totally immersing, and I just love doing it.
Yeah. Yep. And interesting, your normal career is with a phone company, correct?
Well, it's writing. I do technical writing. I work with engineers, and we document their specs and their design specs and product specs and that kind of thing.
Right.
And you can ask Constantine anytime if you need some help.
Yeah.
Right? Need any ideas from
great.
The other side?
Yeah, and you've been let a lot of touch in recent years, but I certainly would like to hear from them again, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps that's something that we can all do in the near future. We seem to be gathering a nice resonance field. We certainly have as our goal the desire to move humanity ahead and to help people to feel that there's hope and that it is in our hands. You know, Lisa, what you're doing with Margaret and with Bob is amazing. I looked over, you know, your documentary again today, and it's the work that you're doing with mothers and their children that they've lost is amazing and touching.
Yeah, well, they're all great. All of these people are really amazing. And I met Mark, and Mark was the catalyst for me, and you know, we decided to do a documentary, and then I started interviewing everybody, and I never knew I would actually be doing this myself, and you know, I just know that my job is to get it on video so that there's proof, and you know, we have like over 200 hours of this stuff on video.
Yeah, you
and
that's
yeah,
my part.
Okay.
You know, so it's been an amazing journey.
So we have about 10 minutes remaining. And again, I apologize for not really opening the phones this week, but we will have, I hope, Mark, that you'll come back.
That'd be great. I'd love to, yes.
And certainly, Lisa, you're welcome anytime.
Okay.
And
perhaps
we can open the phones next time for the second half. I'm sure people have many, many questions. I'd like to make sure that the audience knows how to learn more. So, Lisa, your website is what?
Well, yeah, Margaret and I, we have a website called EVPsessions.com. So, yeah, Electronic Voice Phenomena, EVPsessions.com, and we have some things on YouTube. And every time we do a session, I edit it down to a smaller little montage, and we put it on our website, and we just share our stuff and we're actually looking at doing an internet network, possibly on MingleMediaTV.com. So,
well, we will keep everyone informed of that. Because it's going to be fabulous. And, Mark, you have many books, so certainly people can look you up on Amazon. But more directly, I think you have three websites. Which is the one that you would like for people to look at?
My last name is spelled M-A-C-Y, like the department store. If you just look up, if you Google on Macy Afterlife and World ITC, you'll find a whole bunch of links to my websites and my books and all that. And YouTube.
Great.
Some YouTube clips also.
Yeah.
Oh, just it's just wonderful. You cannot, once you start exploring this, you just can't stop. I started not knowing really who you were, but I you have a book that's got lightning on the front of it or something? What is the name of that book?
I think that's Miracles in the Storm.
Uh-huh. Yes, Miracles in the Storm. And I read that several years ago. And when I put two and two together and realized that you were the same person, I was just enthralled. And I'm very happy that we're, you know,
and
that
Mark,
we've all gone full circle here.
Mark just wrote a new book. He has a new book.
I would like, pardon?
Mark has a new book that just came out. It's called The Project, and it's really focused on the ethereal beings and the whole history. It's very fascinating. It's a great
book. Wonderful. And I'm going to do a short Deborah plug, and if there's anything that either of you would like to say to close, I think I'd like to end the show playing those two ethereal being messages again, if that's okay with you.
That'd be great. It's really a pleasure for me to be on your show. Thank you.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you, Deborah.
And we'll see you again soon. And Lisa, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I just thank you for, you know, being open and hope the audience is open. And I think this is just the opening for, you know, more communication with the higher dimensions. I think it's pretty amazing work.
Yeah, and I will tell you, my office has been buzzing with vibration all day. And even my headset started going wacko. So, I mean, it started making all these crazy noises. I had to shut down. I had to reboot. And I blew out the computer anyway. So I think we're starting some very wonderful things and that people will be able to get information from the universe that they need for us to move ahead and make this a wonderful time in the history of humanity. And it doesn't have to be, we don't have to be fearful. This is a great, wonderful, blessed time, and we should be filled with love and hope.
Yeah.
And on that note, the plug for Deborah is to remember that this show is every week, and it's Soul Odyssey, and we cover topics of your soul journey. And my website is www.soul-odyssey.com. And right now, there are still two more days to vote for me for Oprah's next talk show host. You can go on Oprah.com and browse for OWN TV and look under Deborah Herman and vote many times. Let's put one of us in the driver's seat so I can invite all of these wonderful guests that we really want to hear and learn about onto television. So with that said, I would like to hear the two remaining files again, if I might.
This is the seventh time that we accompany and guide you in your progress towards a free, wealthy, and sane future in which humanity would have stripped off the chains of intolerance and cruelty. A future in which it will be able to establish a fruitful and durable relationship with the lighter realms of existence. In the course of bygone decades of thousands of earthly years, beings interested in human species meet to decide on the continuation of the project.